Greetings and welcome to another episode of the Wandering One podcast. I'm your host, Link Flores. We are brought to you by Wandering One Studios. And thank you guys for tuning in. I totally whiffled the intro right there, but that's because my brain is on slow motion mode. We'll get to that in just a minute. But first of all, thank you to everybody who's listening, everybody who subscribed to the podcast, wherever you decided to subscribe to the podcast. Thank you especially to the lovely people over on patreon.com/WanderingOneStudios. Thank you so much for your support. I've actually got some news for you that's going to be applicable, so stick around. Applicable or applicable? Which one do you guys say? I think I use them interchangeably, just depending on what I'm saying. But let me know what you think is the right way to say it. We'll get to that in a minute. You can usually catch me over on twitch.tv/linkib when I'm not podcasting here, but there's a real reason why you're not seeing me over there. I've decided to take the month of February, which is also Black History Month, and focus a little bit more on redesigning some stuff for my Twitch channel, redesigning some of the old merchandise that I had on Streamlabs, and concocting some new things to push forward into 2026. It's been a long just creative dearth for me, just like feeling really dry mentally, you know what I mean? Like all the idea, the well idea, see what I mean? Still struggling. The idea well kind of dried up for a while there. And it's tough, like when you're used to being a highly creative person and coming up with ideas and concepts and projects, and then you get kicked around a little bit. It takes the wind out of your sails, man. Like, it really does. If you know somebody who's like an artist or a creative person in any way, encourage them. Even if all you're doing is saying, hey, you know, I haven't seen you do anything. Are you working on anything lately? It'll give them an idea of like, oh, shit, people actually do care. Don't give them a hard time about, like, oh, well, you fucking piece of shit. You didn't draw anything this week. And it's like, hey, I haven't seen you draw anything recently. Are you got something you're working on? Is it like a secret project? Do you want to tell anybody about? It gives them the impression that people actually, that their work matters and that people want to see it. That's really one of the hardest things for a lot of artists is that imposter syndrome, feeling like they're not good at what they do and no one really cares. Everybody just kind of gasses them up and then they feel like, maybe I'm just, I only feel this way because other people told me I should feel this way. You know, I'm not really good at what I'm doing, but people, you know, love me and care about me, so they kind of gas me up to make me feel that way. And then also give them room to create. Like, leave them the fuck alone sometimes. You know, or, like, send them away. And be like, hey, man, you need to go and do some stuff to recharge. You know, maybe sit down and if you're a creative person, you need to get that burnout thing going. Be like, hey, man, look, why don't you just, like, you know, take the day. I got this. You know what I mean? If it's, like, a friend, roommate, partner, whatever. Like, I got this. I need you to go and be somewhere else that's not here. So you can get out of your head and get back into the game. You know, a lot of times we don't really think about how wrapped up in ourselves we get, and it'll drag you down fast. And then you get stuck there. And before you realize it, you're like, I've been holding my breath underwater for a very long time. I need to come up for air. So sometimes it's up to the people in our lives to encourage us to do that. And I would say if you know somebody who's a part of like a creative pursuit of any kind, encourage them to every now and again, just like, you know what? You don't have to take a whole month. You know what I mean? You don't have to take like a week. You take like take a weekend, take a day or two. You know what I mean? And just get out, do something different, see some new shit, you know, have some new experiences to kind of rejuvenate your mind and your spirit. It's good for everyone. And it's especially important for creatives because a lot of times the way that we perceive the world is through our artwork, but also through the world around us. It helps us, you know, helps fuel our creativity. And it helps us kind of gain a new perspective through the artwork. So that's always very helpful for anybody, but I mean, especially for creatives and stuff like that. Give them a little bit of running room, a little bit of grace. They don't always know what they're doing. That's kind of the fun part about it. It's like you never really, I think a lot of times if you're being honest, you don't always truly know where your work is going. But once you get a bead on it, you're like, this is the thing. This is where it goes. And that comes with a little bit of space away from, you know, your art. Sometimes you have to like step back and go like, all right, I'm too close to this and I can't focus. You know, it's like trying to read a book when you're too close to the page. Like the letters get blurry. Same kind of concept. So Anyway, yeah, since I'm taking the month of February off of streaming on a regular schedule, you won't see me over there as much this month. You might see me pop up for one or two streams over the course of February. But I will resume my regular streaming schedule in March. And it's just, I mean, I try to do this at least once a year because, I mean, outside of the podcast, it's, you know, 5 days a week, six days a week. And then, you know, all the other stuff that goes into just being a human being in life, you know, doctor's appointments, car maintenance, cleaning house, doing groceries, cooking, you know, that kind of shit. It's all the normal stuff that goes along with it. But then like my days can be as short as like 3.5 hours or as long as like 10, 12 hours. And because it vacillates so much, like it's basically, it eats a lot of energy, eats a lot of like not just physical energy, but like emotional and spiritual energy and mental energy. You know what I mean? Like you're like, oh, some days you got it and you feel like you could take on the entire world and you're on fire. And the other days you're like, I just want to curl back under the blankets and disappear. You know what I mean? You just want to like fall through the center of the earth and just evaporate. It's crazy. But yeah, this is going to be good to take a little break. Like I said, you'll definitely see me stream at least once over the course of the month. But I'll most likely, if I do anything, it'll be popping in with maybe some of my friends who are also streamers. I may do like one just for myself, just for the giggles. And I'll try to, you know, give myself a little bit of a refresh here. Yeah, I think it's pretty necessary for, you know, just anybody, but like for me personally, I've found that when I do take that little refresh break, I feel a lot better when I come back. I feel like a little bit more focused, you know? Focused. Your focus needs more focus. Well, where do we go? Where do we go from here? We already know the news is coming, but I'm not gonna fuck with that just yet. Is it there's cause there's plenty of it and it's all sincerely ridiculous. Because we were just talking about streaming and gaming, I've recently gotten back into Animal Crossing New Horizons. I know a lot of you who may remember this game, and even if you didn't play it, you may have at least heard about it, particularly through the pandemic years, like the first years of the pandemic when people were locked in their homes, you know, under quarantines and stuff like that. Animal Crossing kind of hit it like the perfect time, whereas like a cozy game kind of like takes your mind off of the stress and worry of the world and give you like a cool little microcosm that you could actually control, you know, when the rest of the world seemed to be thrown into chaos, like this little microcosm of Animal Crossing, your little tiny island and all your little villagers and, you know, your plants and your decorations and your house and all that stuff was a refreshing change of pace, you know, from the, oh my God, this virus is going to kill us all. Why don't these people wear masks? Would you at least get the vaccine? Jesus. Kind of thing that was going on in everybody's heads. Yeah. Animal Crossing was a welcome break. And then after a while, they stopped putting out anything new for Animal Crossing. And people lost their fucking minds. Because while it probably, like, the player base probably vacillated a lot after the first year of people being out of quarantine, the real truth was, like, we still weren't out of COVID, and we still aren't. Like, it's a global pandemic for a reason. Like, it's still killing people, you know? People like to act like it's over, it's done. No, we've still got a long, long, long way to go, thanks to a handful of people who are a bunch of dumbasses. But Animal Crossing just this year, just last month, came out with a new Animal Crossing, like, 3.0 version, and it's actually been so much fun. There's cool stuff to do, you know, all this, the familiar things. If you remember Animal Crossing, all the familiar things are there, you know, going fishing, catching bugs, planting flowers and fruits and vegetables and trees and, you know, putting weird quirky stuff on your island and decorating and all that is still there. They just had a lot of quality of life improvements that kind of made it so certain processes could automate a little faster. Let older players especially get through some of the tedium of having to press button this, press button that, press button this. Here's one thing I crafted. Press this button this, press this button that, press this button it. Here's two things. You're like, oh no. Now you're like, hey, I want to make 10 of these. Boom, stack, done. It's so much more expedient. Which lets you get out of the doldrums of just pushing a button over and over mindlessly on repeat and getting into the fun of playing around with the people, like the little animal critters on your island, doing quirky, weird designs, and just enjoying the game in general. And I found a thing that I remember that I hated and loved at the same time, and it got me back again. And that is this feature called a Daisy Maze Stock Market. Oh, Sal Jones Stock Market. Basically what happens is this little piglet named Daisy Mae comes to your island on Sundays. She sells turnips, sell either individuals or in batches of 10. And what you're doing is basically like futures trading with these turnips. So you're looking at like, you know, how the prices trend up and down, trying to find the right time in which to sell to make the most profit. Sometimes you end up taking a bath and eating all the turnips because you lost so much money. But yeah, it's a fun little mini game inside the game that can also be equally infuriating when you fail at it. I got lucky last week. Yeah, it was last week. I think I bought the maximum that I could put in the basement of area of my house, which is I'm gonna say it's a grid, it's like 8x12, something like that. It's like if you max it out on a grid, I think it's like 8x12 or 8x15, something in that area. And I was just stacked turnips down there and then leave them in the basement. And then when I found the right price on my island from little rat boy merchants, the rat bastards, I go and sell my stuff to them. They're not really rats, they're little raccoons, but they suck. So hence the Rat Bastard Brothers. So I got really lucky. I mean, I bought them pretty, you know, just kind of like how we do in stocks and, you know, trading futures. When I buy low, sell high. And I lucked out and bought them at like 102 per turnip. And then they price skyrocketed one day, just randomly, to 551 per turnip. So I ran and sold them all and made like over five times as much money back off of the sale as I spent. This time around, I got kind of stuck, and the price was a little higher, 106, and I was like, "Ooh, that's gonna hurt." But I went and bought them anyway, and then I was like, "Hey, anybody check the prices?" Most people kind of given up on it. I think it's kind of fun. Not like I need the money for anything on the island. Like I've got a pretty decent revenue stream just from selling the stuff that I planted, you know. I have like an entire orchard full of different fruits. I have a whole garden full of all the vegetable items that you can make food dishes with in this, like food dishes, make various recipes with in the game. So, and then I've got like a whole, I've got like two decent sized flower beds that are full of black, gold, and blue roses, which are worth a shitload of money. And it's like an infinitely renewable resource. So I never really will run out of cash. But the stock market's just fun. So I went and bought them 106 bells per turnip. And I kind of pushed the boat out a little bit. I'm like, this is going to bite a little bit. It was like 600. I'm trying to think of how much I spent. I mean, it was a significant chunk of change that I dropped on these. I want to say it was like maybe like 630,000 bells is what they call them, bells. And then I'm looking around for prices, see who's got what. And then it just so happened, like right as I was getting ready to fall asleep last night, my buddy Payne was like, "Hey, they're selling on my island for like, you know, 313, something like that. 313 per turnip. I'm like, I'm on my way right now." So I ran over there, scooped up about a third or so of my stock, and then ran over to his island. Well, about half, I think, about half my stock. And then sold them real quick. So I made like almost 1 million bells off of that one load. And I'm like, "Hey, brother, here you go." Break him off a couple hundred thousand for his troubles. And yeah, it was good times. I love that thing in the game. Is there like some of you guys probably play games, I'm sure. Is there a mechanic in a game that like grabs you like that? And you're like, you don't know why you keep doing it. There's really, to be honest, there's no perceptible benefit because it's a risk every time you do it. Like you can't tell this thing is going to pay dividends until it does. Is there a mechanic like that that's got you hooked and you just like, I shouldn't do this shit, but I do it every time, you know? If you got one of those, send me a message on Patreon, patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. I'd love to get some more of that information from you guys. And we're going to hold on because I did mention last episode that we're going to do like a dating a relationship advice segment. I'd love to get into that some more. And I think we'll pick at that in a little bit. That was courtesy of my friend, That Ginger Girl, and her and her friends. Tinder and escapades, is like these are what they call them. They're Tinder escapades. So we're going to take a poke at that probably at some point. I want to get your input though too. Please write in with your comments, questions. If you're looking for advice, let me know. I'd love to give it. It'll be what it is. Don't trust me like and be like, hey, you're gonna save my relationship. I'm like, I might ruin your shit, but at least it'll be funny. At the very least, it'll be funny for us. I don't know about you. And I'm sorry, you couldn't hear me sipping on tea. It's not super cold today. The weather's kind of warming up a little bit. I'm not thrilled about it, but it is. I mean, it's all right. But I had to make some tea to warm up because, like I said, my office isn't very well insulated. So, like, right here near the floor, my little tootsies are getting cold. So I got like a pair of socks on, sweatpants, and I'm just like drinking some tea to warm myself up. I was hoping that we'd have got some snow. We never got anywhere near it. I think it was just so cold and the air was just so dry that like it was just not going to happen. It wasn't going to happen. It's kind of a drag. I was really looking forward to it too. I'm like, please, 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 please snow. And I just looked around and I was looking at the weather and the you know humidity and how cold it was going to get. I'm like, yeah, the air is way too dry for this to happen. But I was kind of hoping maybe, I don't know, maybe there's still time. There's still time for another one to come back through here and freeze us all up. That'd be great. I would love that. I don't think it's going to happen though. You guys probably heard this too. Catherine O'Hara, probably most notably, the mom from the Home Alone franchise films passed away this past week. That was pretty unexpected. And I'm sure it's sad for her family and everything like that. Here's the thing. I remembered her from the movies, and I always thought she was a fun actress to see on stuff, but I don't think I had enough of an emotional connection to really be like bummed out. But it is sad when somebody goes away, when somebody passes on, especially like, you know, when they, you know, had such a cultural connection to a lot of people. I think that's one of the reasons why people look at celebrities and they kind of, you know, I don't know if look up to them is the right word. I mean, idolizing them is definitely not the tack I'm trying to take with this. But it's one of the reasons why I think like when you see celebrities, we kind of like give them a little bit of an elevated status in our hearts and in our minds because we expect them to kind of hit a certain, maybe like moral stride or, you know, live up to a certain standard, I guess, I'm kind of at a loss for words. I'm telling you, my brain's on slow motion already. I decided to take this month off. My brain took the month off too. We give them some kind of equivalency because of their celebrity with them being good people. I guess it's probably a way to put it. That's why when people have like shitty opinions of celebrities, we go like, ew, brother, ew, you know, like I can't deal with that no more. From all accounts, Catherine O'Hara was actually a pretty stand-up lady, which is awesome. And obviously the people who knew and loved her were the best. I think she had like one interview when she was in an airport going somewhere. And then they asked her, like, what's the role you would most like to be remembered for? And she said, Mom, to my kids. And I thought that was such a great answer because it just kind of came naturally. She's like, you know, you'd think somebody would probably be like, oh, you know, when I played so-and-so in this, you know, war documentary or this war biopic or whatever. She's like, I just want to be the best mom. I'm like, that's such a human response. I was like, I relate with that. That was really cool. There's a lot of other people out there who ain't that smart, though, and they ain't got that kind of love for anything except for themselves. Speaking of which, Nicki Minaj, anybody? Wife and I have been laughing at Nicki Minaj's stupidity. The way that she sold her soul, you know, and step and fetched her way all the way to an L. Like, this whole thing with, like, you know, cozying up to Trump, and I got the Trump gold card, and then only to find out that it was a fucking souvenir, basically. Like, can you imagine getting played that hard to cozy up to one of the most odious human beings in recent memory? Like, there's a reason the guy gets compared to Hitler, you know what I mean? And Jabba the Hutt. Like, he's a repugnant pile of orange slime. And she just crawled right up between his legs for it. And I'm like, ugh. I was never a huge Nicki Minaj fan, so it doesn't hurt me at all. Like, you know, a lot of people are like, kind of like, oh my God, I can't believe Nicki would go there. I'm like, I could. I've seen Nicki's entire career. Like, there's not a whole lot Nicki Minaj won't do for some money and attention. You know what I mean? Like, if she could have gotten away with the OnlyFans by now, she'd have been there. But yeah, she's a fool. And you know, a fool and their money are soon parted. I hope she didn't give this knucklehead $1 million for that fucking weak-ass plastic card. Because here's the thing. It doesn't even guarantee you citizenship, because that's not how citizenship works in this country. It just fast-tracks your application. So basically, you just paid for a million-dollar fast pass to just still stand in line somewhere else. I hope that whoever pays that money just gets, like, denied. They'll be like, yeah, I mean, we said we'd fast-track it. We didn't say you were getting in. Everybody just gets got. They lose all their money, and they're like, no, we're not letting you in. Are you crazy? But, like, again, that's another example of celebrity getting. I mean, sometimes people let that shit go to their head, and they swell up a little bit, and they, like, they forget who they are and what they mean. And they also forget, too, that you're only as famous as people, as you know, you're only as famous for as long as people remember you. Like, once people start to forget that you exist, that fame fades quick. Trying to remember, there's like an old story I read a long time ago. It was about like, I want to say it was like a fictionalized account about gods. Maybe it was American gods, because I didn't read it, but I remember hearing about it. Where like gods would only have their power for as long as people believed in them. So as long as, you know, people believed in so-and-so and so-and-so, like, you know, let's say like, you know, the Greek pantheon of gods, you know, the Roman pantheon of gods, or the Norse pantheon of gods, like, as long as people still believed in them and worshipped them, then they'd had power. But then as soon as they stopped believing in them, worshipping them, they started losing their power. And celebrity is kind of the same way. So like watching somebody like Nicki Minaj fall and fall hard on her big ass head is hilarious. Watching Kanye's fall has been actually quite tragic and sad. See, the way Nicki Minaj fell, the way like a toddler falls when they're trying to run too fast, but their feet are too small and their head is too big and they fall forward and they don't really fuck themselves up because they're on the carpet. They just fall and bonk. And then you like, oh, baby, are you okay? They're like, Kanye's fall is like watching an elderly aunt fall down the stairs who keeps trying to grab the railing. Like, you're not going to make it there in time to save her from getting all the way to the bottom. But they keep delaying the fall by, like, the whole Eddie Murphy thing. When they fall down the steps, and then boop, 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 boop. Oh, my shoe! Yeah, that's kind of how Kanye's fall has been. It's been this long, arduous, like, catastrophe-filled fall down, like, three flights of stairs over the last, like, decade or so. And it's, here's the thing. All the mental health issues aside, like, I get that, you know, people go through and deal with a lot when it comes to dealing with, you know, mental health issues and illnesses, bipolar disorder, you know, depression, schizophrenia. All those things are super valid and super real and legitimate. And they deserve the kind of care and treatment and consideration that, you know, that every human being would want and hope for, right? My issue with Kanye West is that it wasn't that nobody helped him. It wasn't that nobody cared. It wasn't that nobody tried to influence him and, you know, help him steer his brain and his mind and his words in a different direction. It's that at every turn, he failed to, like, you know, really maximize or capitalize on that assistance. And here's the other thing, too. a lot of times, you know, people, there are times and instances, I guess, and again, I'm no clinical psychologist or psychiatrist. I'm not a doctor with any kind of, you know, degree in this stuff. Just from what my understanding is, you know, in dealing with people who, and I say dealing with them by, and like having relationships with and interactions with people who suffer with mental health issues and illnesses, a lot of times what happens is that you're still able to recognize that you're spiraling out of control. You just don't have the capacity to put together like how to stop it or why it's happening. But that's why they call some of this stuff like episodes, right? Because it's not always a consistent like stream that's happening. It kind of comes and goes in waves, right? And during those moments of clarity or lucidity, that's when a lot of people do reach out for help. And they do reach out and be like, hey, you got to help. When I start wilding out, you got to help me get this shit right. I mean, it's like when people have like a dog because they have seizures, you know what I mean? And the dog kind of like, hey, calm down, put your lay down. Don't put that in your mouth. You know what I mean? Grab them a bottle of water. I've seen, you know, you've seen those videos before. Same kind of thing can happen with people. You're like, hey, I need somebody to help kind of keep me regulated and keep me on point. When shit starts going sideways, I need you to make sure you take my phone. You know what I mean? Limit my access to the outside world. I need you to kind of insulate me from myself. And he had people who were willing to do it. And I know his mom passing away was probably a huge moment for him where it kind of shifted. But there were still people around that cared. Now, to be fair, the Kardashians didn't. Anybody could have told him that a mile off. And if he had listened to anybody who did tell him that, he'd probably be in a much better position than he is right now. But the Kardashians are basically, they're radioactive to everyone and anyone around them. Why you'd marry one, I don't know. I get why you might hook up with one, but I mean, why you'd marry, especially Kim? Wow. That is literally like a nest of vipers and scorpions. Like, I don't know why you get bothered. But here's the thing with Kanye. I was reading his apology letter, for those of you who didn't know. Kanye West took out a full page in of all things, the Wall Street Journal, to apologize to the people he's hurt. Okay, first of all, I think I was talking to my mom about this, and she was like, if you want to apologize to anybody, just apologize to the people in your life that you've hurt. The people in your life that you've, you know, damaged and mishandled and whatnot. Go to them. The rest of the community will watch what you do. The rest of the world will watch what you do, as we've watched all the other things you've done. But you've dug such a deep and wide hole for yourself that a letter in the Wall Street Journal that most of your fans or whatever would probably never see otherwise unless it hit the news is not the move. This is just you pandering. It's another one of those things where people look at it and go like, I don't believe you. You're not genuine. If you wanted people to know this, you would have done it maybe on YouTube. Maybe you'd have gone to X if you were going to do that, or Twitter, you know what I mean? Like, as I prefer to call it. Maybe you would have done it on a Twitch live stream. Somewhere where the people who would normally go to see you would see you. The people who would go to see you are not, they're not generally reading the Wall Street Journal. Not that they're not intelligent people, but that's not where they're going to get their news. That's not where they're going to find your content in the first place. So this feels very disingenuous. And if you get a chance to read the letter, which I will put a link to it, this one is from The Guardian. But, you know, the full letter came out. I'm not giving you a link to Wall Street Journal. Go think, fuck themselves. But The Guardian is a good site for this kind of thing. But he kind of picks through and like says, you know, he kind of doesn't really fully apologize. He just kind of like makes a bunch of excuses for why he is the way he is without taking any accountability for the fact that like, I did say this stuff and it is hurtful and hateful. But mostly remember me, like I'm the victim here. It was like, you were in a car accident. Everybody remembers that song Through the Wire, where he broke his jaw and had to have his jaw wired shut. So he did the entire song with his jaw wired shut. And he says, like, at that time he had suffered, like, you know, frontal lobe injury to his brain, a traumatic brain injury. And then everybody kind of focused on, you know, his face being all fucked up and didn't look at his head. And And he's like, yeah, they didn't really do a good job of checking that out. I'm like, well, you know, if it wasn't diagnosed until 2023, then what? How do you explain the last, you know, 2 years? How do you explain that you're dressing up with as a Nazi in all black, as a Klans member in all black, wearing that weird mask to go on? I think it was Piers Morgan or something like that. One of those right wing, I mean, Piers isn't necessarily right wing, but you know what I mean? Like one of these right wing TV shows, like walking around like with a black mask on, calling yourself a black Nazi and stuff like that. Like, where did that come from? Why was that never fully addressed? You know? And he's like, oh, and then people label you as crazy. This is a direct quote from this letter, by the way. Once people label you as crazy, you feel as if you cannot contribute anything meaningful to the world. It's easy for people to joke and laugh it off when, in fact, this is a very serious, debilitating disease you can die from. Again, this is where he turns into, like, woe is me, my life is shit, and this is a serious condition, and I'm scared. It becomes less about, hey, what have I done to people? It's more like me. And like the closest it gets to apology, I said and did things I deeply regret. Some of the people I love the most, I treated the worst. You endured fear, confusion, humiliation, and the exhaustion of trying to have someone who was at times unrecognizable. Looking back, I became detached from my true self. So you had enough clarity to look at that and go like, this was a problem I should have been addressing, but not enough to say like, hey man, I did some really horrible shit I'm not really apologizing for. I just want you to know this is why I'm shitty, and we'll just see how it goes from here. Basically, is like if you read it, you're like it'll aggravate you. But here's the other thing: he apologizes for some of the anti-Semitic comments and stuff that he's made. Not even really apologizing. He just says, "I want you to know that really ain't me. I'm not a Nazi. I love Jewish people." So he spends most of this time basically like self-aggrandizing, like how badly he's had it, how rough it is, woe is Kanye kind of shit. Throws a little platitude to Jewish people, and then he has literally three sentences and a phrase for black people. Who are the people who put Kanye on? Let's be real. The black community held Kanye up, called him Chi-Town. He called himself Chi-Town's finest, and we believed him. And back then he was. The black community embraced Kanye with open arms and held him up in the highest of regard. This is what he has to say to the black community. To the black community, which held me down through all the highs and lows in the darkest of times. The black community is unquestionably the foundation of who I am. I am so sorry to have let you down. I love us. He moves on. In early 2025, I fell into a 4-month-long manic episode of psychotic, paranoid, and impulsive behavior that destroyed my life. As the situation became increasingly unsustainable, there were times I didn't want to be here anymore. Oh, I'm so sad. Hey, man, you know what? Kanye, you probably never going to hear this. And even if you did hear this somehow, it probably wouldn't reach your ears because it seems like you still kind of on some woe is me shit. That's not really an apology. The best apology you can give anybody, as we've all heard before, is change behavior. And it doesn't seem like, at least to me, from what I've seen, that even though you've gotten another, you know, a better diagnosis and you're gaining a firmer grasp on the issues that you're dealing with emotionally, mentally, and physically, it doesn't seem like you've made any sincere and genuine strides to change over the last 2 years in particular since receiving that information. And this letter, I'm not even calling it apology because I don't believe it is. This is basically an excuse tour, not an apology tour. You've given us a bunch of excuses as to why you are the way you are, but nothing that's really demonstrative of any genuine sense of, I don't know how to put this correctly so it's more succinct. There's no real genuine sense of regret or a recognition truly of how your words and actions have also not only demonized yourself and destroyed your family and your family life, but have affected and reflected on the black community and the hip-hop community as well. So you can take this apology letter and shove it And come back to us in like 3 to 5 years or something when you've done something that actually demonstrates that you gave a shit. And I think, again, like we talk about celebrity, I don't care. Kanye West ain't going to really affect my life. I still got the CDs. I'm not burning them shits. I'm not one of Bud Light's, you know, MAGA fans who's going to buy a 12-pack and shoot them up in the backyard. I'm drinking that beer if I got it. I'm not a fool. I'm not going to throw away some shit like that and destroy stuff just because I got an attitude. I just feel like it's really disingenuous and it's basically spitting in our faces to act like we didn't see all the stuff we saw and you like, this is an apology? This ain't shit. It really ain't. It is funny to watch people try, though. Jelly Roll's one of them. I know people love Jelly Roll. I love Jelly Roll. When he first came out, I was like, this guy's got a great voice, lots of soul. He's kind of fun to listen to. But this dude fumbled the bag real quick. And he fumbled the bag. He's the way he's doing it is it's like what they say, hustling backwards. It's like the same way Ludacris and Nelly and a bunch of these other idiots who are on that Rock the Country tour that we talked about last episode are eating it. And Jelly Roll goes to the Grammys. He gets his awards and stuff like that. And then here's this fool says, he come really like right out. And he's like, I'm just a dumb redneck. I don't know nothing. But really? That's what you're going to lean on? You're going to talk about Jesus is for everybody. Jesus is not owned by one political party. Jesus is not owned by no music label. True sentiment. Very, very true and solid. And I agree with that. I agree with that. But then he's asked about, like, you know, if you want to speak on the state of the country. And he goes, people shouldn't care to hear my opinion. I'm a dumb redneck. I haven't watched enough. I have a phone for 18 months. I've had one for 4 months, and I don't have social media. I hate to be the artist that's that aloof. I'm just so disconnected from what's happening. That right there. You live in this world. And this is one of the reasons why I try to tell people, like, you know, the real stupid thing that people do is act like politics don't affect us. As you can see, it reached out and touched quite a few people in Minnesota, in California, in your own neighborhoods probably. Politics affects all of us. And for someone to act like, I ain't got nothing to worry about, yes, you do. Yes, you do. And this whole like, well, I didn't, just because I didn't grow up around it, you know, it don't affect me. That's a really stupid and narrow mindset to have, especially for someone who's selling out, you know, shows all around the country, probably even all around the world. And he's like, he says he has a lot to say about it. He'll do so next week. Say something now, motherfucker. Like being disingenuous about it and then being like, I don't know. I kind of, you know why? Because he's still on that Rock the Country tour. Yeah. I mean, while that thing is going to fall apart, you know, faster than a Lego house, you know, being stepped on by an elephant. The real truth is a lot of these people don't want to lose what they got. You've seen Ludacris pulled his name off of this. Nelly's still on there. Nelly's gonna double down on this. If he could put his name up in front of Kid Rock's, he would. But Jelly Roll's right up there too. A bunch of other people you've probably heard of, and it'll break your heart sometimes to look at it. But in other ways, you'll be like, yeah, I kind of figured they would be there, you know. But it's a really big who ain't of country music. And some of them you'll know, like some of you won't. If you want to take a look at it, I wouldn't recommend it. But if you can find the flyer for Rock the Country on Google, just look up the image result. Don't even bother going to the damn website, which is what I did. But yeah, the new flyer has, you know, Ludacris removed off of it. Like I said, Ludacris is losing them tickets, losing them ticket sales, losing them album sales. And so he had to get himself from underneath that shit quick. And that's what I mean, though. Like, celebrity will let you down. You know, you gotta remember at the end of the day, they still just people. But it is funny to watch them find out. You know, it is funny to watch them get got. Like Melania. Melania. Ugh. Has there ever been. Here's the thing. Back when Melania was, before she was really like, you know, before she was who she is today, she was a reasonably attractive woman. You know what I mean? This is before she actually did the penthouse stuff. But she was a pretty lady. And it just, the only f- fucking thing about it is you could see it like in her eyes. There's something kind of cold and almost like reptilian behind those eyes. Like, she's not a good person. Like, what was that line from the movie Clerks we were talking about? What the fuck's a good plate with nothing on it? It's like, yeah, she's got a pretty palate, but it's like there's nothing of substance here. You know what I mean? It's all just for show. And what's showing, everybody's already seen. So, like, you got to hit us with something else now. But, yeah, this whole snooze fest, apparently, that she put on as a documentary is costing Amazon a lot of money. But this is what the Trumps do. Like, everything they touch, like, kind of melts. And it's like a reverse Midas touch. Like, everything that they touch turns to shit. So Amazon dumped approximately somewhere in the neighborhood of, like, $75 million. And there was, like, $40 million for production and then $35 million for, you know, promotions and advertisements and shit like that to kind of get this film out in front of eyeballs. But to throw $75 million in front of this thing and then only walk out of the box office on opening week with $7 million? That's a shit ton of a loss. Now, I can't see that many people are going to go and watch it a second or third or fourth or fifth time. I don't know how many more people are going to stack onto it by the end of this week. Like, this by this weekend, they have a better idea of what the overall numbers are going to look like, because usually the first week or two of a film's release is where it makes the bulk of its money, besides whatever it gets in the DVD, you know, Blu-ray streaming service life, right? But this turd is already sinking to the bottom. And I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of here for it. Because, you know, she's terrible. She's terrible. She's the worst. And this Epstein list coming out with some more stuff, the unredacted stuff is the wildest stuff. Like, you're like, wow. It is kicking their ass. Like, we all thought we wanted to see the Epstein files. I've never wanted to see the Epstein files more than I have this past week. Everything that's coming out of it is just trouncing them. Like, the cutest thing that I saw this week, this is, I'm saying it's cute because it made me laugh. It reminded me of like when a kid wants like to stay awake, but they're so tired that they don't know that what they really need is sleep, but they'd be crying because they want to stay awake. Was watching Jason Whitlock's pudgy ass crying basically about the Super Bowl halftime show with Bad Bunny, and then, you know, trying to pump up this Turning Point USA dreck that they're going to push. Again, Kid Rock headlining it. Somebody else made the point, it's like, why are they always leaning on Kid Rock? Do they have anybody at all with any talent that's not him? The answer is, I mean, yes and no. Like, there are other people who would probably be a bigger draw, but they don't want to put their names too high up, right? Except for the people on the Rock the Country Tour. They're definitely going to, yeah, they'll definitely sell out. But the MAGA-teers over, like, oh, Bad Bunny's going to be at the Super Bowl. Blah, 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 blah. You know how they tell, like, liberals, like, hey, man, suck it up. Facts don't care about your feelings kind of shit. Well, here's a fact for you fuckers. You could just not watch the halftime show. You know what I mean? Like, you could just not. That's a thing that you're totally able to do. Somebody else pointed this out, too. Weren't y'all supposed to be boycotting the NFL because it was too woke? Wasn't that supposed to be y'all thing? You're still watching football. You just don't want to complain about the half. You just want something to complain about. So the issue here isn't that he's not an American. He is, because he's from Puerto Rico, which is an American territory. It's not even that he's Spanish or Latino, because y'all can't wait to jump up on some, especially y'all country folks. Y'all love to use like Latino food and put it together and be like, oh man, let me some burritos, tacos, put it all together on a plate, man. We're going to have this big old Super Bowl spread. Just be nothing but Mexican food as long as they build the wall. Kind of stupid shit like that. So it's not even that. You know what I mean? You definitely fuck with the food, the culture. You'll fuck with the food, the music, the women. Definitely fetishizing, you know, women of color, no matter who they are. We've known that for generations, though. We've been known that. The real sad and shitty thing is, like, your alternative was Kid Rock. Word? The last song I heard from Kid Rock was such an embarrassment that if I had been on the song, I would have done everything I could to hunt down the masters and have them destroyed. Like let's say I'd been a guy who was just making beats, right? And I sold one of my beats to like Kid Rock's production label. Didn't know that Kid Rock was going to be using it himself. And I heard that he used that beat in his song. I would find the masters and burn them. Like, I can't let this get out. It's atrocious. And not only because of its content, which is just lurid and disgusting and xenophobic and bigoted on its face. It's just not good. It's not good music. It sounds terrible. And that's what they want. But then it is very like that South Park thing. Sweet tears. Like just the tears of MAGA is really sending me into a whole new stratosphere of happiness that I didn't know was possible. Just at somebody's misery and be like, ha ha, you suck. But yeah, it's the wildest thing, man. And then not only that, you know, so we have like the weird, that weird, crazy, sort of happy-ish news. Then, of course, Don Lemon getting arrested in L.A. after he was in Minnesota as a journalist. Literally just covering the news the way he's been doing for, you know, decades. Three other individuals are also arrested along with him, including Georgia Fort, who, if I remember right, I think she is from Atlanta. I'm going to double check this. Okay, I was incorrect. She actually is from Minnesota. She's an independent journalist. Kind of like how Don Lemon is now that he's no longer with CNN. But they were both released from federal custody on Friday this past week. After like the administration and DHS were getting roasted for basically break into this woman's house almost and arrest her. And here's the other funky thing about it. You watch the video of her arrest. She was arrested by the DEA? Under whose authority? Under what jurisdiction did they have to send DEA agents after this woman in Minnesota? Like, how does that work? Why was she being arrested, first of all, in the first place? Why were either of them being arrested, or any of them being arrested? And then DEA agents, you couldn't even send your Homeland Security goons in after? They're probably where they would shoot them. And then the murder of a former CNN journalist and another independent journalist would definitely cause a firebomb situation for this administration, and particularly DHS and ICE. What jurisdiction did the DEA have to be there? I never understood that, and that was never quite explained or poked at, from what I could tell. It's crazy. There's actually a DHS attorney. This one's great. Her name is Julie Lee. She was assigned to, she was working for the U.S. Attorney's Office in the District of Minnesota. She told the judge that the job sucked. And let's see if we can pull the exact quote. She said, "The system sucks. This job sucks. I wish you could hold me in contempt so I could get 24 hours of sleep." This lady was like, "I'd rather go to jail than go to work." Like, that's how much this administration is just destroying public confidence, the confidence of their own employees. You know what I mean? Like, no one wants them around. Everybody seems to, like, the people who are still holding on are the people who are directly getting paid. Which, guess what? Ain't ICE agents we're finding out? Remember those $50,000 bonuses they were supposed to get? Ooh! Some of these agents are coming off, and they're like, one, the rumor, I think it was like a couple of weeks ago, right just after Renee Good was murdered, and just before Alex Pretty was murdered, ICE agents were complaining about like how they didn't want to be where they were at. They didn't like the job assignment they were getting. You know, the work sucks. You know, they're getting yelled at and this, that, and the other. People are throwing rocks and snowballs and shit at them. And I don't have any sympathy for them. To hell with them. You know what I mean? I'm sure there's definitely some good people that work in that department that were trying to do the job the way it was originally intended. But ICE, the way that the enforcement wing of the Department of Homeland Security is being run, is not anything that we've had for a very, very long time. It's actually a relatively new concept in terms of organizational structure. The way ICE is being managed and run, when you see them banging on doors and pulling people out of cars, that's not a thing that they were doing. Most of ICE's work, immigration and customs enforcement, most of their work was done through legal processes. You know, they're punching, you know, they're pushing pencils, punching, you know, stapling papers together, putting together affidavits and documents. The majority of their work was not kicking in doors. And that's what they've turned into. And they're right when they call them a Gestapo crew, because that's what it is. But yeah, this lady was just like, I'd rather go to jail. So district judge Jerry Blackwell ordered the government to explain why it had not followed court orders in immigration proceedings, including not releasing several immigrant detainees he had ordered to be let out. Here's the problem, and I've been saying this for months, years now. They don't have to listen to you. We gave them a mandate to go and do as they quote, we saw fit, right? We thought that's what we were saying. They're like, oh, well, you gave us power, so now we're going to do what we want to do. And they didn't. The people who voted for these idiots didn't pay attention to the fact that you voted in some of the most atrocious human beings on the planet. What did you think they were going to do if you handed them an almost unilateral mandate with which to swing the axe? They're going to chop down everything they can because everything looks like a tree to them. And now you're trying to reel them back in. It's like, you've already let this dog out. The only way to stop this one is to put it down. Like, the only way to stop ICE is to literally dismantle and, you know, disband the entire department. Like, you can't even go back and reform this thing. You have to actually basically nuke this thing from orbit. You know, you can't put the genie back in the bottle on this one. And it's unfortunate, but this is a lesson that we're going to learn. One of these years, we're going to learn it, you know. You can't let that kind of power just run loose without any complete checks and controls. I mean, the White House even. You know, like some of the stuff that's happening right now, you should have had military, you know, like a military police squad walk into the White House and be like, you're under arrest. I mean, the kind of seditious and straight out illegal moves that the president has made, I'm surprised that there hasn't been a complete revolution of the United States Armed Forces to just be like, no. And they walk up into the White House and just be like, you versus us. Which one, who you think's going to win? The Secret Service versus like the, you know, the 82nd Airborne, you know, or the Rangers out of Fort Benning. Like, who do you think's going to win? I know where I got my money. I've seen these dudes operate. Just in practice exercises, I'm like, I put my money on the 82nd Airborne and the Rangers every time. Now, that's a fantasy that most likely won't happen. But a guy can dream, right? I can dream that, like, you know, well-meaning, conscionable people that are in the armed services are going to be like, enough is enough. We have got to do something to get rid of these assholes and just go ahead and just sweep them all out, round them all up, put them all in Leavenworth, and we're going to have your trials over the next, you know, 5, 10, 15 years. That's as fast as we can get to it because we got to do the work of rebuilding this country you've actively sought to destroy. But you just sit tight. Three hots and a cot, baby. It's going to be you for a while, so make the most of it. That needs to happen. Because as long as they're allowed to continue to operate with impunity, they will do exactly that. But anyway, so hopefully we'll see some results here coming up soon. You know, and I was thinking about this too, because of how crazy things are. You know what's crazy that I noticed? ICP is coming back. Does anybody else remember the Insane Clown Posse? I know I'm really dating myself right now in terms of like the kind of music I'm familiar with. And I was never a big fan of their stuff. I thought they were an interesting kind of circus act. And I never really got into their work. I think I had like one CD single that I got in like a grab bag of stuff when I worked at Virgin Megastore, which is a very old sentence to say. Never a big fan of their music. But one of the things I did understand about them was that they always, I mean, the Juggalos in large part just seemed to be kind of like people who dressed up like as dark, weird clowns, but they weren't really mean people. They were a little nutty, but they were just party and bullshit kind of people. And as Shaggy 2 Dope and Silent J, like they're actually like funny dudes. I think maybe it's the age and maturity, or let's say at least age. But they're funny guys. I heard them on this podcast called Are You Garbage? And they were talking, and every time they would say something, I'm just like, these guys are hilarious. They just sound like a couple of regular dirtbags. And if you take away like the music and the makeup and all that jazz, they just sound like a couple of like your silly, funny uncle's friends or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, you have like that one cool uncle, and he's got a bunch of weirdos that he hangs out with that are not mean or bad. They're just doing dumb shit, like, you know, lighting each other's farts on fire and stuff. But they're like 40. You're like, well, how are you guys still like this? I don't know. And they were just funny as hell. If you get a chance to listen to some of their interviews, they're definitely not going to, you know, you're not going to learn anything. But you will have a great time because they're just completely ridiculous human beings. I just thought about that just now. Like, yeah, that is weird. Yeah, and then we're gonna get out of here in a little bit, but I want to remind you guys, hey man, art is hard. Artwork is hard work. I'm trying to refocus myself into doing more artwork this year, particularly through this month. But I have some I have a concept that I'm trying to work on that I want to slowly over time build out and release for general consumption. Mostly it's going to be focused through my Twitch channel. Part of it will end up going through Patreon. But it's an art project that is going to kind of tie into a... It's going to stem from my Twitch channel and then tie into a project I've been kind of had like a as a dream project for a while. And I'm going to be working on bringing it to fruition this year. So if you want to see more, please pop on over to patreon.com/wanderingonestudios and give it a follow. You don't have to join. I mean, it's only $3 to join. So if you want to, you can, but it's free to follow. You can even email me over there. I'll read those emails from free followers too. Not a big deal. I'm just down to get some more eyes over there, put some more content here in the podcast that you guys want. And yeah, I hope that you guys enjoy what comes up as I start working on it. I'll start posting stuff over on Patreon. And it'll definitely be showing up on my Twitch streams in the month of March. So check out twitch.tv/linkib to go and see more. Now we're talking about gaming again. I've been looking at some stuff, and I every time I wishlist something, I'm actually noticing now that I'm playing less of my Xbox and more of my Nintendo Switch. So I always liked the console, but I just never got into a lot of the stuff, really. I'm actually looking at it instead of like just the wish lists of games. I'm looking at getting like another controller just because the one I have is like 4.5 years old, I think. And some of it's starting to fall, like starting to crack apart a little bit. It's old, but it's lasted for a good long while. But I saw that Monster Hunter Stories Collection was like a physical edition. And I'm like, I would get that because that looks adorable. And it looks like a more traditional kind of RPG like I like. And then there's also another one called Tales of Berseria, which looks like, you know, most of the Tales games are more of like an action RPG kind of thing. I just feel like the way that they've done action RPGs feels better in my personal estimation than what the Final Fantasy franchise is leaning into now. I don't know. It's not horrible. You know, the Final Fantasy formula is not horrible. It's very familiar because it is very much like the Tales of series of games. But I remember playing Tales of Arise and not liking that at all. But Symphonia, I didn't get a chance to play Zillia because it was only on PlayStation, but Symphonia and Vesperia were awesome. They were beautiful. Berseria looks like it's going to be more of the same of that kind of those two games formulas, like Symphonia and Vesperia. So I've been looking forward to seeing if I can get a hold of a physical edition of that. And a physical edition of the Monster Hunter Stories Collection, which I saw one that was like $43. I'm like, damn, man, if I had the $43, I'd have just gotten it yesterday. But I might do that. Might have to look into that. More physical editions, particularly for Switch. Like, I put my wish list up for stuff. I really wish that I had like a P.O. box. So I could be like, if you want to send me something like that, you fine, let's do it. You know what I mean? That'd be great. I really want to get into doing some more stuff with Keymailer. I haven't bothered to look at my Keymailer account in a while. There hasn't been a lot of stuff that's come out that I'm really interested in, to be honest, though. But I will give it a look and see if there's anything out there that I'm like, oh, I could go for that, you know? Who knows? I might luck up on a key for Tales of Berseria. If I did that, I would definitely play it on my Switch. That would definitely be a thing I would pull up and do. But yeah, we're going to wrap it up. Again, the calls for dating and relationship advice, I would love to hear. If you've got some, please mail me over at patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. And I got a question for you guys. I haven't done a homework question in a while. What's a class that you could teach at a moment's notice? It doesn't have to be a school subject, but if I had to ask you, hey, could you teach a seminar or could you produce a seminar on X? What would be the thing? I need you to talk for like, you know, let's say it's like an hour long class, like it's a course credit class. I need you to put on a presentation about X for an hour. What is one thing you could do sight unseen, without a doubt, at the drop of a hat that you could do like right now? Let me get your answers and your comments and stuff like that. I would love to hear some of these because somebody's got to have some kind of arcane or obscure knowledge that would be like, oh my God, that would probably be a fun class. You know what I mean? I'd love to hear some of those stories. But yeah, hit me up and let me know. Like you said, patreon.com/wanderingonestudios is where you can find me. You can also find me over on Blue Sky. All the links are in the description of the podcast. I'm going to get out of here so I can figure out what I'm going to do for dinner tonight. I haven't decided yet. It's probably about time to at least have something out for the purposes of letting it thaw. So I'm going to go do that. You're going to go do you. I'm Link Flores, and you guys are amazing. Thank you very much for another episode of the Wandering One podcast. That one's in the can, folks. Love you. Mean it. And I'll catch you guys a little further down the road. Peace.